All right, go with me back over to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. This is the story of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. If I'm not mistaken, the last time I preached from this was at Caleb and Bobby's baptism in Pikeville. I think it was this. Wonderful story. We see salvation in this story very clearly, don't we? The great question is asked here in this story. It's asked and it's answered right here in this story. What must I do to be saved? The question of all questions. What must I do to be saved? We're going to look at the whole story. I was going to look at bits and pieces of it. It starts with a woman who is possessed with the devil. But this is all one story. And I want us to see something wonderful in the whole story. It does begin with a woman who is possessed with the devil. You know what we see in that? An unclean thing that is made to be clean. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out. He came out. Made to be clean by the power of God. That's salvation. You know, we're all as an unclean thing, but God. And then we see those that were bound in prison. Paul, Silas, and a bunch of other people. They were bound in prison, in chains. And we see God move mightily. He sent an earthquake. Shook the foundations of the whole prison. The pins started popping out of the walls. Chains started falling off. Doors started opening up. He set every prisoner free. That's salvation, isn't it? That's salvation. You shall know the truth, Christ, and the truth shall make you free. Free. And then we see a man who is absolutely opposed to the gospel. We're going to see a jailer who beat these men and thrust them in the inner prison. Absolutely opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we're going to see God strike fear into him. Absolute fear. And he fell down trembling, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm lost. That's what he was saying. All of a sudden, fear came into him. And he said, "I am lost and I need to be saved." That's the cry of life. That's what it is. If God brings a man to that point, that's a pretty good evidence that he's already been saved. I'm lost. Save me. That's a pretty good sign. Does a baby cry in order to live? Or because it's already alive? What must I do to be saved? I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Well, then we see that every bit of this is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means believe in His life. Believe in His death. Believe in His miracles. Believe in everything He is. Rest on Him. And this is the truth. If a sinner will rest, just stop working, and rest on Christ, totally. Trust that He did everything that was needed to save this sinful soul. Christ did it all. Rest on Him. Trust Him that He did everything that needed to be done to redeem your soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know that? There is nothing I have ever done that makes me think God will save me. I don't have any hope in anything I've ever done. You know what all my hope is? is that the Lord Jesus Christ has made me cast it all on Him. Just trust in Him. So this is a wonderful story of salvation. In looking at this, I saw something that encouraged me so much. This was such a help to me. Such a help to me. And the reason I say that is because of the news. The news is killing me. It's crushing me. I don't like the news, and I try not to watch the news. But this was a help to me. I pray this will be a help to you. I pray this will be a blessing, an encouragement. What we're about to look at applies to our everyday life. It applies to Monday morning. This is an encouragement. Here's the message tonight. Here's the title of this message. It's called Providence and Predestination. That's the title of this message. Providence and Predestination. Providence means forethought. It means to consider in advance. It means to look out for beforehand. That's providence. Predestination means to limit in advance. I love that. That's predestination. It's limiting in advance. It's to predetermine. With the Philippian jailer, with every single child of God, with me, with you, every single child of God, God considered each one of them in advance. Every single one. It amazes me to think of the Lord dwelling on me for just a minute. Me. Of all creation, all people. We know that He thinks on His people, but is it not amazing to think that He thinks on you? He considered each one of us in advance. For every single child of His, He looked out for them beforehand. You've already been looked out for. He had forethought toward them. And He predetermined everything about them. There is no chance. Thursday morning holds not one ounce of chance. I love that. He limited them straight to Jesus Christ. Every single one. That is so encouraging to me. This is the story of this Philippian jailer. It begins with a woman who is possessed by a devil. This random woman, so it seems. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain through soothsaying. She was a fortune teller because of this demon, and they were making good money. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Do you disagree with what that unclean spirit said? You disagree with that? I don't. Sometimes error is blatantly obvious. Sometimes it's so close, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But this was an unclean spirit speaking through this woman. You might hear a lot of men say things that sound fine. It sounds okay. But the question is always this: what think ye of Christ? They might say a bunch of true facts. They might say a bunch of true statements. They might have some doctrinal things right. But let's cut through all that stuff and get to what think ye of Christ. Verse 18 says, "This did she many days. She followed them, crying out, these are the servants of the Most High God. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, tore the clothes off of Paul and Silas, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, here's what struck me about all this. This is what was amazing. This is amazing. Had the Lord God not allowed that unclean spirit to enter into that woman? You remember they all said, "Well, can we go into those swine?" And he suffered them to go into that. God allowed that to happen. What a bad thing. But had the Lord God not allowed an unclean spirit to enter this woman, she would have never followed Paul and Silas, grieving them. Never. And Paul would not have cast an unclean spirit out of her. And her masters would not have gotten angry with Paul and Silas. And they would not have thrown them in prison. And that jailer would have never heard them praying and singing praises to God. And he would never have seen the mighty hand of Almighty God set all the prisoners free. And he would never have fallen down in fear and trembling, crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And he would have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every bit of this was providence and predestination. Every single bit of it. Starting with an unclean spirit. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 50. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." They took him and sold him. "As for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now I'm going to read that again, and maybe God will let our little hearts enter into it. "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." That's why God does everything. Every single thing. That's why God does everything. Everything he does is for the salvation and good of his people. Not one thing is a wasted act. Everything is on purpose. He has one purpose. It's the glory of Jesus Christ, and it's the salvation and good of his people. Every single thing he does is for the salvation and good of his people, even if it appears to be evil. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." I wish that that would well up inside me. I wish his word would be a wellspring every time I turn on the news. "You all mean it for evil." Yes, you do. God means it for good. Go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." All of our steps have been ordered by the Almighty God. Every single one of them. Does that not give us a little bit of comfort in this crazy life we're walking through? Is this not crazy? It's like I feel like I'm watching history repeat itself in a bad way. Our Heavenly Father has considered everything about us in advance. Every single thing. He looked out for us beforehand. And in this purpose, His unchanging purpose, He predetermined every step. Every single step. And I know I'm worried about my next step, but I don't need to be. All I have to do is wait until He moves my leg. Our end is going to be good, and there is none good but God. That's our end. Our finish point is God. All that mess is just going to be cut away. It's going to fall away. If we are in Christ, every single thing that happens to us in this lifetime, every single thing is for our good and salvation, or for the good and salvation of somebody else. Every single thing. Now, this poor girl, she was possessed. I'm sure that was not an enjoyable experience. And I don't know if God saved her, but if God did save her, knowing what she knows now, you know, we will all one day know as we have been known. We'll see the tapestry. We'll see everything about our life, everything that happened. Knowing what she knows now, do you think she's happy that she went through that? If God saved her and she saw everything that took place from that, knowing that God saved souls through the means of it, do you think she's happy that she went through that? Absolutely. If you could see the end result of whatever it is you're going through, if the Lord would let you see the salvation of a soul or the good of one of His sheep, God sparing a soul from eternal hell because of what you're going through the means of whatever it is you're going through, wouldn't that give us a little comfort as we go through it? Paul and Silas, they were whipped, they were beaten, they were beaten, they were beaten. Their flesh broke open with lacerations. They were covered in dried blood. The reason I know that is because down in the story, it says that jailer started washing their stripes. The stripes he put on them. He and some other men took turns putting stripes on them. And these rough men, I bet you it wasn't a little tap. They were thrust into prison, sitting there just covered in that dried blood. After seeing what God did, they had the story. They went back to Lydia's house. After seeing everything that God did, do you think Paul and Silas were happy that it happened? You remember, who was it? Peter and John, maybe? They were beaten. They went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ's sake. The story closes with Paul and Silas going back to Lydia's house, comforting all the brethren. They showed up. And I guarantee you, they said, "Oh, we're so glad you're out of that prison." They said, "Brothers and sisters, You're not going to believe what God just did. That's how they comforted them. You're not going to believe what God just did. That's why Paul said what he did in Philippians 1. Go over with me to Philippians chapter 1. Now, he's writing this to the Philippians. That's Lydia, her house, the Philippian jailer, his house, maybe some of the prisoners that were in there with him. Philippians 1 verse 8 says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." I love you. Verse 12, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I was told that one time, and I believe it now. Paul said, "I'm in here for one reason only. It's for the furtherance of the gospel." He's saying, you remember, you of all people ought to know. He's writing to the Philippian jailer. You ought to know. Every bit of this was predetermined for the good and salvation of God's people. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It does not matter. The news is just killing me. And they do mean it for evil, but God is in control. God is in control. Every single thing that happens is for the good and salvation of God's children. Who's in control? Our president or God? Whichever president. Who's in control? Congress or God? Trust God. And I'm talking to Gabe Stonaker right now. Just trust God. Trust Him. He is allowing every bit of this to happen for the furtherance of the gospel. Go with me back to Acts 16. Verse 23 says, "When they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Now, what would you have done when all those prison doors opened up? Would you have run or would you have stayed? What would you have done when all the prison doors opened up? What would you have done when the one who just beaten you and thrust you into prison, hurt your brother, he's about to take his own sword and kill himself. What would you have done? Just kept silent and let him thrust that on into his heart? Or would you cried out, "Do thyself no harm"? What would you have done? Paul was the perfect servant of God to be at this place at exactly this moment in time. The steps of everyone there could not have been more perfectly ordered. There was no other man that could show as much compassion to this jailer as Paul. No other man. Everything that God allowed to happen to Paul was for the good and salvation of God's people. Paul was a man who beat God's people. Paul was a man who whipped God's people. Paul was a man who thrust God's people into prison. And God shook Paul. and he struck fear into Paul. And Paul fell down, trembling, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can you imagine Paul watching this man fall down trembling, crying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Can you imagine the grace that was flooding back into Paul, just remembering what mercy God had on him? He's thinking, I'm watching this all over again. Same story. You know, we all have the same story. 18 years before this happened to Saul of Tarsus, 18 years, God's providence with Paul, 18 years before that, brought him to this place and this time. This is interesting to see. Let me show you this. Go back to chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4, he fell to the earth. Verse 5, he said, Who art thou, Lord? Verse 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That happened in the year A.D. 35. That's when that happened, the year 35. Now look at chapter 9, verse 32. Peter was going around preaching. Came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. That was in the year A.D. 38, 3 years later. From the beginning of chapter 9 to the middle of chapter 9 is 3 years. And then chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Paul was officially called to the ministry in A.D. 45, 10 years after God revealed himself to him. And then chapter 15, verse 36, some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren, that's when they split. That was in A.D. 53, and that's where we are right here, 18 years later. 18 years. Paul seeing the same thing God showed to him. Same mercy being showed to the Philippian jailer. Chapter 16, verse 29 says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Those last three words give me such hope. And I didn't say that. God did. You know that? That's not my opinion. I believe God will save your house. That ain't my opinion. God said that. And thy house. House. God said, this promise is to you and your children. I'm clinging to that. I am clinging to that. May God be merciful to our children. I don't care how young they are and I don't care how old they are. May God shed his grace on thee. Crown thy good with brotherhood. Verse 32 says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They preached the gospel to everybody that was in his house. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. They confessed the blood of Christ alone. That's why you're baptized. And I'm quite positive that when Paul preached the gospel to them in their house, he made this very clear. They were confessing Christ alone, the blood of Christ alone. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. You know, that's such a picture of, I was picturing this jailer sitting there washing both of their stripes, just grieving, knowing I put those stripes right there. There's a song that a man named Ed Hale wrote. He says, I'll be looking for scars up in heaven. Scars that love held on the tree. scars that turn judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. When we see those scars, the glorious part of all that is knowing I put those scars there, those precious scars there. Well, verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. You know, God was finished. They got these men, they said, beat them, put them in the inner prison, and make them fast in the stocks. As soon as God's work was done, they said, let them go. No trial. God's work was finished. God put it on their heart, let my people go. They let them go. Verse 36, the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Paul was from Tarsus, and that was the capital of the Roman province called Cilicia. He was from a Roman province. So he wanted them to know, you have broken the law, not us. This thing is law-keeping. Verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. They comforted them. They told them about everything that had happened. And that's all we're doing right now. Just telling about everything that happened. They reassured them that God is in control. And that's all we're doing tonight. We're just reassuring us God is in control. All things worked together for good. We always say that. We always say that. They told them, they got into Lydia's house and they said, yes, you see all these stripes? That jailer beat us. He threw us in prison, but God saved the jailer. And then that jailer took us to his house and he wanted us to preach to his family, and then God saved his family. God has been so merciful in all this. And you all should really go down there and meet that jailer and his family. I think you all could worship God together. Lydia was the first person in the church there. Now Lydia's house. Then the jailer. Now the jailer's house. They're starting to get a nice little group going. The first church at Philippi. This is the same story of every congregation. It starts with the Lord moves on one, and then some of their house, and on another one, and some of their house. The Lord is so good, isn't he? Thank God for providence, predestination. It's all ordered and sure. All right, let's stand together.